The reason most people give for their uncertainty about God are not the real issue. Rather, they use real intellectual problems as a smokescreen to protect themselves psychologically against a real faith.
That's Dr. John Guest. Join us, please, as we talk with John about how we can know that God has spoken and how we can have a sure and confident faith. Well, hello. I'm Denny Milgate, and I'm delighted to be able to invite you to join us for today's edition of Member Care Media. 15 minutes brought to you each day by TWR, Trans World Radio. We're honored to have as our special guest today Dr. John Guest, pastor of Christ Church at Grove Farm in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. That's just outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I could spend a fair amount of time on our program today just citing John's credentials and experience, but I'll just touch on the more significant ones. John was born and raised in Oxford, England. He began his studies as an engineer. He responded to God's call at a Billy Graham meeting in London in 1954. He was ordained by the Church of England in 1961, came to the United States in 1964. He's a musician and has used music to draw people to hear the good news. In fact, he conducted citywide Christian crusades all across the United States for nearly two decades. Dr. Guest co-founded Trinity Episcopal School of Ministry and founded the Coalition for Christian Outreach, which is an organization with about 150 staff on college campuses. He currently hosts a daily radio program in a number of cities. He's the featured speaker at Promise Keepers conferences, and he's the author of 10 books, including This World Is Not My Home, Finding Deeper Intimacy with God, Making Sense of Life, Beating Mediocrity, and the book we'll be talking about today, In Search of Certainty. It's published by Regal Books. This interview with John Guest was recorded a few years back when In Search of Certainty was first released. John, there's no doubt that we are certainly living in an age of uncertainty, is there?
Well, certainly in the Western world, people really don't know what to believe about their values anymore. They've become absolutely subjective, that is, into their own personal value system. They don't believe that there is any objective outside truth that's true for everyone. They're very much into their own feelings about things. And consequently, all they can ever be is uncertain, because they can never be sure they're right.
What do you believe is the reason for this trend?
Well, first of all, there has been a philosophy coming out of Europe called existentialism, which basically says that there is no truth that's true for everyone, because there is no God to establish such a truth. All you've got is your own existence, the way things are. And of course, that was fairly erudite, and most people don't know the word existentialism even, or subjectivism, or relativism. They might be a little more familiar with relativism, but those words all describe the same way of thinking that says that there is no truth that's the absolute truth for everyone. Jean-Paul Sartre, Albert Camus are two such authors in Europe. But hard on the heels of that came the same philosophy in rock music. For instance, the Beatles perhaps popularized it more than anybody else, and they took over the whole scene for years. Yeah. Perhaps are still influencing it. Take a song like Strawberry Fields Forever. Strawberry Fields, how's that go now? Living is easy with eyes closed, misunderstanding all you see. It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you down to strawberry fields. Nothing is real. There's nothing to get hung about. Strawberry fields forever. And that was followed, the song, which lasted about 3 minutes, with another 3 minutes of music that had been recorded forwards but played backwards. Hmm. So it was just a total cacophony for 3 minutes. Epitomizing what they'd been singing about, namely that there is no sense or rationality to it all. It's all irrational. All you've got is yourself, your own thing, your own values. And that's led to the cliche in the USA, for certain, which is, if it feels good, do it. I'm into my own trip. I'm doing my own thing. You see those? So you've come from a sophisticated philosophy through a popular medium of rock music down to the local individual who does his or her own thing and doesn't think that anybody else has the right, anyone, not even God. Well, they're unsure about God, you see. That's the problem. Yeah. Any outside source of truth. And if there isn't an outside source of truth, then all you've got is yourself and your own personal point of view.
At first glance, it looks like everybody's having a great time out there, but you talk to these people, you try to get close to them, you try to get intimate with them, and there's a lot of chaos out there. That whole generation that you were talking about of the 60s and kids today say, what's the purpose of life? I'm going to get blown away when the atomic bomb goes off anyway. And even if I don't, there isn't any meaning to life.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. They're very uncertain about any destination. And if you don't have any sense of destination, you can never have any sense of destiny. And if all you've got is today, and you don't know anything about tomorrow, there's no way to have a hope. You become a hedonist. You live for pleasure. You live for sensuality and a good time. Well, most people who run that route discover that it wears thin very quickly. Whether it's sex or rock music or booze or drugs, sooner or later it gets old, it gets jaded, and then what? And once you've run the gamut of sensuality, then there's not a whole lot more to look forward to. And there is a tremendous depression out there.
And I guess the pity is that these kids get started in this run on sensuality as young as they do these days, and they pretty well run through it by the time they're through their teens.
Right. The trouble is that anybody who lives in that whole milieu does not mature either. It's almost when you get to people who have lived that way for 20, till they are 21, 22, 23, they're still really like they're 15 or 16 year olds emotionally. Because that kind of lifestyle doesn't lead to any kind of maturity.
If you've just joined us, or if you've tuned in late, we're talking firsthand today with Dr. John Guest, the rector of St. Stephen's Church in Sewickley. It's a suburb of Pittsburgh,
yes.
Pennsylvania. About certainty, the fact that you can believe in something and know what you believe in. It's a new book by Regal Books, In Search of Certainty, that he has written. And how does this book, in fact, help us know what we believe in?
Well, what I have done is really a tactic of Francis Schaeffer, which is to take the agnostic or atheistic positions and take them to their end conclusion. To help people think through what it means if you say, for instance, there is no God, or another conclusion that there is a God, but he hasn't revealed himself. And when you take those conclusions, when you extend them out to see what they're really saying, you end up with, you're really driven toward a God who has revealed himself, who has spoken. So I don't know if we need to get into that right now, but that's what I have done. For instance, if there is no God, then we all got here by accident.
Yes.
If we got here by accident, then we're just freaks of nature. There is no design because there is no designer. That being the case, then there is no moral right or wrong. You can't tell anybody they ought to behave this way or they ought to behave that way, because you can't say to an accident, you ought to be anything other than you are. And I use as an illustration in the book the Third Reich of Adolf Hitler to demonstrate that, in fact, he was doing nothing more in trying to produce a super race than the farmer does in trying to produce fine cattle. You know, you get rid of the inferior.
Yes.
And you interbreed the superior. And then you ask the question, well, who determines who's inferior and who's superior? And the answer is the most powerful. And since he had the right, by might, he determined what was going on till he was conquered. And then another might determined what was right. Well, when you extend that all the way out, you have to say that Hitler was not bad. nor was he wrong. He was only doing, as I say, what the ingenious farmer does to perfect whatever he's breeding. And there was nothing wrong with that. Well, that doesn't match reality. What I'm trying to do is drive people away from concluding there is no God by asking them, does what I've described to you look like reality? Is that your understanding of reality? Does it bear witness to what you feel reality is all about? Similarly, there is a God, but he hasn't revealed himself. What most people have never concluded, because that kind of God is the agnostic's delight, mm-hmm. namely there is a God, but who knows, because he hasn't shown his hand. If there is such a God, he's a bad God.
Now, you wanted the last half of this book to build the argument that God, in fact, does make himself known, that he does work in our lives, and
right.
that, in fact, is what is meaningful in life today.
And I've taken the classical arguments, several of them in any case, one being that God has spoken through prophecy, that when you take the prophecies, especially concerning the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus, and then you see them fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that's an evidence that you have to deal with. And one of the most remarkable ones that I'd never ever noticed before, until I did the research for this book, is that his brother became a believer. His brother James, in fact, his brother James became the first bishop, as far as we can tell, of the church in Jerusalem, certainly presided over the council of Jerusalem. And, you know, there was a time in the Gospels when they perceived Jesus to be beside himself and his family came to get him. And of course, he was executed, Jesus, because others thought he was bad. And here is his brother James becoming a believer. The most difficult people to win
are those in the family.
Are those in the family who've lived with you and know you. And yet he became a convinced believer.
Do you have anything to say to those people out there who are really struggling with their faith right now?
Well, this is where the family of Jesus Christ that we call the church is absolutely vital. I'm a churchman. And one of the important ingredients of the message of Jesus Christ is the family of Jesus Christ. Folks are supposed to be able to either see us or come amongst us and know that Jesus is for real.
Dr. John Guest, and the name of his latest book is called In Search of Certainty. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us.
Thank you.
Dr. John Guest has been our featured guest on today's program. John is the pastor of Christ Church at Grove Farm in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. I hope our conversation today will give you some additional confidence in your faith and in your work. Member Care Media is a production of TWR, the International Christian Broadcaster, and we invite you to join us every day. Do write us, please. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are important to us, and our address is coming right up. Be sure to stop in at our website. You'll find lots of helpful links to other sites and other radio programs that you can listen to right there on the homepage. Here's the address, membercaremedia.com. That's www.membercaremedia.com. Thanks for listening today. And until the next time you can be with us, may you walk in certainty of faith and do be a blessing to all of the people that you live and work with, won't you?